We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. We are discussing Saturday's DraftKings slate, 6-game slate, much different than 2 weeks ago's 3 games. But we're sponsored by SoRare. Are you looking for NFTs that are both fun and of actual utility? Try SoRare, their largest NFT-based fantasy game. You can collect, trade, and compete with officially licensed digital cards of soccer players from over 180 clubs on SoRare. That's SoRare.com. I am Adam Zdroik, soccer editor at RotoWire, joined by Jordan Cooper and Ryan Belongi. And so this slate, there's 6 games. 3 teams have new managers. So in addition to, you know, all the regular, you know, lineup questions, now we have to deal with new managers. But the other thing is, I guess the odds are updated here, but last I saw, the implied goal total for all these games is 3 or less. So it's kind of, you know, Manchester United, the biggest favorite here, Jordan, but, you know, you can kind of go with anyone, really.
I think this is one of the most wide open slates that we've had this season. I mean, being that it's a large slate for what we normally get on Saturdays, 6 games. Manchester United are the biggest favorite, minus 220 or so, but not like prohibitively a higher favorite. I mean, their clean sheet odds are 38%, but I mean, Southampton is 31, Aston Villa is 31, Newcastle 27. I mean, there's no like standout, like how much Man United can you jam in? And then like the rest of the games are fairly pick 'em. I mean, like Southampton is the next biggest favorite, but it's not like they're humongously favored over Norwich City. So like it's kind of up for grabs. I mean, I think the player pool that you could have on this slate for both cash and GPP is much wider. I think we'll see in DraftKings double ups, probably depending on how obviously the starting 11s come in. We'll see more of like 4v4s possible, 5v5s maybe, you know, in cash games. There's different construction types. There's no like one, like you got to play this type. And then GPPs is just, I mean, if you wanted to play 20 lineups in GPPs, 50 lineups in GPPs, you could go anywhere. So, Ryan, I think the most important, it's, I don't want to say he's the most important player on the slate, because I'm not sure if he is, but for cash games, especially, Ronaldo or no Ronaldo at 8,700. And on a 6-game slate with a lot of pick 'em games, and we do have, I mean, that it's fairly soft pricing in general. We do have options at tons of different price points at each position. Cristiano Ronaldo is not the same Cristiano Ronaldo at Man United as he was at Juventus or at Real Madrid. Like, it's not like he's taking 8-9 shots a game. He has become a classic DraftKings goal-dependent forward. He has the highest anytime goal-scoring odds at minus 105, minus 145, which is not like, which is what, 50, 59% or so? It's not like Man United have like a 3.5 total or anything. Do you find that it's a necessity to play him in the forward spot in cash games? I have to assume that he's going to be the highest owned forward play in GPP. But like, I think that if his shot volume is not high enough, that even if he scores one goal, maybe he's sitting there with 15 or 16 points. And I think I could get 10 to 12 from other players that without a goal or an assist that, I mean, am I thinking too old school on a slate like this where just rip out goals and just play the best lineups you can, and that's more likely than not gonna get it there?
Yeah, no, I think you're on the money. I wouldn't play Ronaldo in cash. No,
you know he's gonna be popular. I mean, I have to expect that he's gonna be popular in double ups.
Right, but like everything you said, so there's a lot of options, and then his floor's not what it once was. So like, even if he scores a goal, it's not gonna kill you. But then there's more upside with the other guys you mentioned, because if they score a goal, they score 25. And it's not like these guys can't score a goal either. So, yeah, I don't know. I get that he's got the highest, you know, goal scoring odds, and it's a good matchup, and his price is good too. I don't love it for cash games. I mean, I'm not really a cash player, but it doesn't seem necessary to me.
I also think that we're going to have to see what some of these starting 11s are. I know in your article you mentioned about Trossard, but if we see Gross in the lineup there, we may see starting 11s where we talk about these teams on this podcast, and if they line up a certain way where there's like three guys that can take set pieces, we have enough teams on the slate. Like, we're not talking about a three-game or a four-game slate, that in cash games I'm more likely to focus on the players that are likely to have a near monopoly of set pieces than ones that have shares, depending right on how that line up. So like, one of the teams I'm talking about for this would be Brighton. So you have Trossard, you have Gross, you have March. If you see all three, I'm more inclined to not play any of them. But if I only see one, I'm very more inclined to play that one guy. And I think Aston Villa is another example of that. Do we see Buendia in the lineup? Do we see Bailey in the lineup? Like once we start seeing Bailey, Buendia, McGinn, Target, and they're all in, I kind of discount like the set piece share when deciding who to play. But if I just like, oh, there's only like one or two of those guys in, then it kind of upgrades them. And then we have the guys that are like, we have the Connor Gallagher, James Ward-Prowse, where we know what we're getting. Bruno Fernandes, I guess, a little bit. It depends on what they're going to do at fullback, whether or not Shaw's going to play or Telles is going to play. I mean, I see a lot of those types of situations around the slate where the set piece duty situation is kind of fluid, and you're going to have to basically an hour before lock kind of adjust to that. I mean, like Bowen's there for West Ham, but I mean, Ryan, you're never a big fan of Bowen. He typically split set pieces and doesn't play all 90. So for 9,000, I think we have other options. And then we have guys like Milos Rajicka at 7,400, Dwight McNeil at 6,900, like are, you know, the steady guys there, but they typically, you know, they're playing for teams that have less upside. So you're kind of just hoping for a lot of crosses. I think the forward slot is I'm not comfortable with any forward pairing that in cash games. I vastly prefer the midfield and defender positions on this slate than the forward positions for cash games. For GPPs, obviously, you have forwards that could score one or two goals. Like that's no issue for me. But would you be more inclined, because we do have higher priced midfielders to pay up for, to go cheap at forward? Or because we also have very cheap midfielders that we could play, that you're more inclined to go up? It's kind of, I'm asking two different, like, cause we have like, you could play a lineup with cheaper forwards and then like just jam in like Ward-Prowse, Gallagher, and Fernandez. Like you could make that lineup, or at least play two of those 9K level midfielder guys. But we do have like some like 3 and 4K midfielders that I think are underpriced that probably should be 5K, $5,500 midfielders. That maybe that's maybe you'd, why not play, you know, a gross Bowen lineup or, you know, something up towards a Bailey lineup, you know, pay up over there and then go down in one of the midfield spots for one of these 3K, 4K guys. My cash game mentality says lock in the guaranteed points with those 9K midfielders. But, you know, it makes my forward slots kind of iffy when I do that. So in GPPs, I think you're more likely to do pay up at forward and pay down at midfield because the forward ceilings are going to be much higher. But in cash games, I still don't know. I mean, I'm looking at this going, I still really don't know what my construction type is going to be in cash games.
Okay. Yeah, that was
that's a lot. I know a lot to take.
Okay. Well, first of all, I mean, that was a great breakdown of everything. I mean, basically exactly what I was thinking. So I had a really tough time figuring out which forward to, you know, recommend in my article at the top. I put Trossard because, like you said, you know, Gross hasn't been playing and I don't see March in expected lineups. If Trossard is the only one in there, then yeah, he looks like a great play. If Gross is in there, I don't even consider Trossard. Same with Villa. Like if you don't see Buendia, Bailey's a great play. As far as like construction, yeah, I think the cheap forwards are weak and we're one or two of the expensive ones will probably be pretty good plays, at least on par with those midfielders. And we're probably going to have at least one cheap midfielder that's like a good cash play. So I'd probably lean towards just playing one expensive midfielder. But yeah, other than like which cheap midfielders were you thinking about?
Okay, so you want to go to midfield? Okay, so the cheap.
I don't know. I'm like jumping around now because I'm thinking, trying to think of everything you said.
Right. Okay. I mean, I don't mind jumping around, but I mean, in the lower range of forward, when I'm talking about a cheap forward, I'm not talking about like all the way down.
What's the lowest you can go?
Okay, we have McNeil at 6,900. I think. I mean, you could get away with Mbeumo at 6,600. I'm not a big fan of that. Edouard at 6,200. I mean, truthfully, I mean, if Ings starts at 6,400, I mean, we'll talk about cheap goals at forward. I think Ings has the best anytime goal scoring odds for his price at 6,400 for Villa, assuming that he plays. He's questionable. But we get down here. I mean, like there really aren't cheap forwards. Do you really want to play Chris Wood at $4,900 in cash games? I don't.
No.
But the cheap midfielders, like if we go down, obviously the expensive, at midfield, I almost prefer the really high and the really low guys. Mm-hmm. So Connor Gallagher, James Ward-Prowse, and Bruno Fernandes. Let's start with that before we get to the cheaper type.
Okay.
If you had to play one, like how would you rank these guys? You have Connor Gallagher away to Burnley for Palace.
I think
you have Ward-Prowse.
I think we should mention, Jordan, your guy Eazy-E is actually going to return this weekend. And like,
We don't know if
he's not going to start, but like, if he comes in the 60th minute, he could take all set pieces for like the final 30 minutes. I think, you know, that's something to think about at least.
True. No, I know. I agree with you. It's one of those fluid situations of depending on the start and 11. But let's say Eazy-E, Ezebrigi, Eze, whatever, but I like calling him Eazy-E. All these three guys, we're plugging in for 90 minutes, right? These are 90-minute guys. Mm-hmm. Fernandes doesn't have a monopoly of set pieces. He doesn't have PKs. Ward-Prowse has monopoly of set pieces and PKs. Gallagher has a monopoly of set pieces and no PKs. The tried and true me wants to like prioritize Ward-Prowse first because like, when do you ever go wrong with playing 90-minute James Ward-Prowse, the second biggest favorite on the slate, technically, for Southampton? You know me, I don't view Conor Gallagher as a $9,200 player, but I have to based on his Like, based on what he's been doing, if he's James Ward-Prowse, just he plays for Crystal Palace. So, actually, he's probably even more active in open play than James Ward-Prowse is. But then you have Bruno Fernandes, who essentially is the fulcrum of the Man United offense. And you get tons of open play value, as well as a split of set pieces for the biggest favorite. Like, how do I rank these people? If I want to play two of them, who do I play? I almost feel like it's easier to pick two than it is to pick one.
Yeah, I think for cash, the first number one is Ward-Prowse. It just has to be because of monopoly of sets and PKs and the matchup against Norwich. It's just the safest. Like Adam mentioned, Gallagher's set piece situation could be up in the air depending on who plays and who the subs are. And yeah, Bruno, I guess, you know, he's not as appealing anymore without penalties and without all the sets, but he does have a lot of upside in that matchup. I'd lean Bruno over Gallagher. Like, Bruno has a really high ceiling, obviously. But I mean, I guess I'd rank Gallagher three, even though I really like Gallagher. It's a good matchup against Burnley. And like you said, he definitely has more open play upside, and he's going to score more goals from open play than Ward-Prowse is. But I'd probably rank him Ward-Prowse, Bruno, Gallagher.
I just take a look at anytime goal scoring odds just to put things into perspective. We've seen Bruno with very high goal scoring odds, but he is only plus 240 on this slate. And Ward-Prowse is plus 270. So the difference between those two are not dramatic when you're thinking in terms of, oh, why don't I play the Man United player? Because then now we're starting to talk about a cash lineup that doesn't contain any players from the biggest favorite on the slate, which is not like they're not humongous favorites, but they're the biggest favorite on the slate. So like Conor Gallagher has plus 390 goal scoring odds. So, you know, I could, to me, that this makes the case that, like, I don't think in terms of Ward-Prowse, you know, being Ward-Prowse is not that prolific in open play, but I'm assuming his goal scoring odds are up because he does take penalty kicks for Southampton. And, you know, we've seen time and time again that you could easily get bailed out by one. And James Ward-Prowse most likely has 10 to 12 points on top of that. So, like, it seems like, yeah, I think I would agree with you. If I had to choose one, it would be Ward-Prowse for safety, for a floor, for a cash game. And I think, weirdly enough, I think the better GPP play is Conor Gallagher. So I think Bruno Fernandes is going to be higher owned than both Ward-Prowse and Gallagher.
Yeah.
In GPPs.
I was also surprised to see Bruno's goal scoring odds. Yeah. I agree with everything you said. Gallagher seems, you know, better GPP play maybe because he'll be less popular and maybe has more upside. At least he's shown that than Ward-Prowse. But yeah, Ward-Prowse for cash. The cash lineup seems so easy to me, by the way. I mean, assuming
there's a lot of options though, Ryan. It's not, to me, it's not easy. I think there's a lot of cash lineups that look fine, that look good.
Yeah, okay, not easy, but like there's one that just jumps way out, I think. I don't know.
So what's that one? Don't bury the lead.
Okay, sure. Well, it depends on if Ryan Fraser starts. Because he would be in it.
Okay, I wanted to talk. Let's talk about that Newcastle situation. Since okay, we're going to be talking about some cheap midfielders. Eddie Howe is there now, right? What are your thoughts on the effect of him? He said in his press conference today that he wants to build around Jonjo Shelvey, which seems insane to me. But whatever. Jonjo is 3,200. Frazier is 4,100. And obviously, Frazier used to play for Bournemouth and Eddie Howe for a long time. Matt Ritchie's still there at 5,900 in a defender spot, but they're most likely going to be going to a back four. I think Richie's price, 5,900, is fair because he's still attacking. He's an attacking fullback. He'll only have a set piece, you know, share with Shelvey on the field. But he's going to have more defensive duties playing with a four-man back line. How do you think, I mean, we're not talking necessarily about defenders now, but on specifically Richie. Typically at 5,900, we just play Richie like every slate and just like You know, but that was without Jonjo on the field, and with him playing, you know, as a wing back. Do you think, and we have defenders to play on this, we have plenty of defenders that we could play. Do you think Matt Ritchie is like, you have to lock him into a cash lineup?
Yeah, no, I don't think you do anymore. Just, yeah, because of everything you said, in a back four, it's hard to like him as much as when he plays on the wing. He relies on set pieces, and I don't know, Frazier could take some. Shelvey did take some last time. Yeah, and there's other defenders, so I don't think he's a lock. Newcastle, like, in Eddie Howe, yeah, that's interesting about Shelvey. Like, if Frazier's not in, I don't know, maybe Shelvey will become a slightly better DFS player under Eddie Howe. Like, we used to roster Shelvey a little bit. I remember you talking about him a few times. I mean, at least he used to have a little bit more open play value. He's just been sitting so deep now. He had been under Steve Bruce, but yeah, Eddie Howe and Frazier, I mean, you gotta like it. I don't know, I'm not like thinking too much of about it, other than it's an upgrade, definitely. They were together at Bournemouth, so like for 4,100, I just play Ryan Frazier. I mean, he doesn't even need set pieces at that price. And yeah, I don't know, I just think it's kind of a no-brainer for cash. Wouldn't you agree?
Not necessarily, because we have, depending on the lineups, I put a similar player to Ryan Frazier in that range is El Niasi, because they've priced him down now, and he's now 4,600. Now, we're talking about, like, Frazier, I'm not expecting him to play 90 minutes, right? 75, something like that. Same for El Niasi. I'm not expecting El Niasi to play 90 minutes. But Southampton against Norwich, second biggest favorite, I mean, he's the same type of play. If you're going to tell me that Frazier has no set pieces, well, El Niasi has no set pieces, and they're both basically attacking wingers that like crossing the ball. So what makes Frazier, other than the 500 difference in price, any different from someone like El Niasi? Because he obviously is someone different than a Moutinho, right? Right? Like a central midfielder that has some set-piece responsibility, but really doesn't do anything else other than that. We're talking about guys with open play value. So, like, for the $500 difference, like, what? Why is El Niasi not in that conversation?
Yeah, no, okay. He'd be in that conversation if Frazier has no sets, which is like, I don't know, maybe has he ever had no sets? I don't, like, he probably for sure has some sets, I would think, but
not necessarily with Ritchie there and Shelvey there.
Who's yeah. That? Okay, maybe if Shelvey, I guess Shelvey could take some over him. Okay, sure though. No sets. But
let
yeah,
me make your point. You. Let me make your point for you, because I
sorry, your point just is the finish of my point was Newcastle home against Brentford. That's like a pretty good spot for Newcastle. If it was like a questionable spot, then yeah, I'd be more iffy about Frazier. But what were you going to say?
I think the better point is that we're questioning whether or not Frazier will have set pieces. Under a new manager, it's possible there is some in the range of outcomes that Frazier starts and literally has a monopoly of set pieces.
Right.
Like that's within the range of outcomes. Within the range of outcomes, Frazier comes in and has a share of set pieces with Shelvey, and Ritchie has none. There's some that Frazier comes in, has a share of set pieces, and Shelvey has none.
Right.
There's a thing where Frazier comes in and has none of them. But he's priced for having, like, just literally having no set. Like, I would play, if you told me Frazier had no shot at set pieces, he's still a play at 4,100 for his open play value. Mm-hmm. So, like, the upside of Frazier walking into set pieces is much bigger than El Niasi, who's not that's not, we know, Southampton. As long as Ward-Prowse is on the field for 90 minutes, like, no one is going to be over any other dead ball, but besides him, essentially. So, like, if you had to choose between the two, Ryan Frazier on this slate could end up being a $6,500 player if everything goes his way. El Niasi is never going to be that.
It feels like a little bit like when we had Ward-Prowse out and we had to factor in the Redmond potential upside, and then he goes off for 26. I mean, you don't know, but if it happens, you're going to want to have it.
Right. And he's fairly priced. It's not like Frazier's 5,500 and we have to think, well, if he's not on set pieces, he may be a little overpriced. It's like, no, I'd play 4,100, 4,100. Just say, I view the same thing for Shelby. If you want to play Shelby at 3,200, there's only upside from there. I mean, what's the worst case scenario? You get a defensive midfielder that scores 4 points. Well, he's priced for 3,200. He's priced as a defensive midfield. So what's the worst case scenario? You just get his expectation. His best case scenario is that he's a $6,000 player because he's on all set pieces.
Right.
Yeah, I think a lot of this is based off of, you know, just Eddie Howe. And, you know, I have Newcastle at the 4-3-3. I put Frazier in as a left winger. But even just looking at last season's stats when Frazier, he didn't really play, but he actually averaged 10 crosses per 90 minutes when he actually played last season. So even if you don't even care too much about what Eddie Howe's going to do, I mean, even though you probably should, but just even if Frazier starts at 4,100, you got to think he's going to be popular just because of, you know, the price. And if he is in that winger role in a 4-3-3, I think there, you know, people will just look at him no matter what kind of thing.
How about in the mid-range, Ryan? What the boring guys, like Ashley Westwood, 5,000. Like, to me, what's wrong? I view him as a cash play, but not a GPP play.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no problem. Like we see these cheap, that this is where it leans me more towards paying up at forward, because why can't I plug in Westwood or Frazier? And then I could pay up kind of for three, like 5K level defenders. Or even like Jensen, if he's in at 5,500, like in this range, even Trincao at 5,200 is of the similar vein of those Frazier, Elianasi types, like the winger that's going to play that 75 minutes that has open play value, but nothing, I mean, no, nothing on set pieces. But there's like no in between, like you have those guys. Wouldn't I much rather play a bunch of those guys or a bunch of like the 9K guys than play like, do you think a guy like Emi Buendia at 7,300 goes like vastly overlooked for GPPs? Or do you think is it not worth to play Buendia, especially if like Bailey's in also? I almost feel like I'd rather play Bailey because at least he fills a forward spot.
Right. Yeah. So I wouldn't even consider Buendia probably, but I guess because of that, yeah, he'll go way overlooked. But I mean, like you said, I want exposure to those 9K midfielders, and there's plenty of value midfielders. I mean, pick whichever one you want. You can play two of them if you want, or you can play three defenders. They're all pretty good priced in the 5K range. So like that construction, it seems sort of obvious to me. I mean, yeah, plug in
cheap midfielder, Ryan, we didn't mention, same price as Shelby. I think he's much better for GPPs than for cash, but I wouldn't say you couldn't roster him in cash. Thomas Suchek is 3,200.
Mm-hmm.
And he's someone that, you know, has his sneaky open play value. But when West Ham is attacking, which Wolves probably will let them do a little bit more, he does show up in the box a lot. He shows up at the top of the box and he takes shots. He's involved in the attack on set pieces. I mean, his floor is kind of scary low. His floor is scary. I mean, it's low. I mean, he has a lot of games where, you know, he's 2 or 3 points, a yellow card, something like that. But from an upside for 3,200, I mean, we see, like, even in the past, like, we go through his past 10 games. We have the 10-game log. We have this Liverpool game that did horrible, but, I mean, it's Liverpool, so give him credit. 3 shots, 2 shots, 0, 1, 1, 2, 2, 2, 3. Right? Shots assisted, 0, 0, 2, 1, 2, and a bunch of 0. Like, he's active from the center of the park. Gets tackles, 1. Obviously commits a lot of fouls. But for 3,200, I mean, It's weird for me to say. I prefer Suchek and GPP over than some of the cheaper forwards on the slate.
Yeah, me too. And I might even prefer him over Shelvey. I mean, you talk about low floor. Shelvey's floor is low too. Even if he split sets, his floor is low. I mean, he doesn't do much else. He likes to pick up yellow cards. And I mean, Suchek does other things. So for me, like, I wouldn't even consider them to have a difference in floor. Yeah, I like Shelvey's upside. Everything you mentioned, averages multiple shots a game, very cheap. Absolutely.
I think Christian Norgaard's in that position too. Jordan mentioned him a couple weeks ago. He had a couple shots on target that last match, but I think he had 6 fouls committed, so that kind of ruined his floor, but he still hit a floor of 7. But I saw, just looking at the stats here, so he has 13 shots the last 4 matches. That's only behind Salah and Cancelo. So, like, if you want cheap upside, 4,400. I still don't trust Eddie Howe's defense. So, I mean, he's a little more expensive than the guys you were talking about at 3,000, but.
No, yeah, I'm okay with a cheap midfielder against Newcastle. I mean, I can't believe how many shots he's been taking.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Do you think Newcastle opens up and becomes, you know, because we know Eddie Howe, he doesn't care how strong his team is. It's like, we're going to play open football. And if the game ends 4-3 and we lose, that's so be it. So should we expect more of these Newcastle games to be much more open? Should we be considering more guys like, let's talk about GPP, more guys like Saint-Maximin and Callum Wilson, like their frontline players a little bit more? Do you think it's going to be more open? Do you think it eventually gets there? Do you think obviously it uses the January transfer window to bring in some players? Obviously the team has money now. So you have to think that come February, this team is going to look much different than it did, than it does currently. But do you think Eddie Howe implements more of that old Bournemouth system of like, we got two guys back, the two crappy defensive midfielders back just to kind of protect our back line. And the rest of the guys just kind of like feel free to cross the ball 24 times and just run into the box. And if we give up 3 goals, that's just what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that we should probably be considering the Brentford guys too, then for GPPs, Tony and Mbeumo, whoever really. I mean, we remember those games for Bournemouth. I mean, Eddie Howe is notorious for teams giving up 3-4 goals. Trying to outscore people. I don't know. I assume he was brought there also to play like a more attractive brand of football than Steve Bruce with the money they have coming in and just everything. Yeah, it's a good point. We should probably start to think of Newcastle in a different way, like immediately, because they're probably going to be a vastly different team.
I think just for this slate, I think that's a good point just in terms of Steven Gerrard and Dean Smith going to their teams, I think those guys are going to be focused a little more on defense, and, you know, they want to get some points with their new team. And I don't think Eddie Howe really cares at this point. Like you guys are saying, like, they're going to get new guys in January. So Howe is just like, okay, let's see what these guys can do. Let's go off. And as with Gerrard and Smith, it's a little different. I think the funny thing with Dean Smith, so his last game with Aston Villa came against Southampton, who Norwich are playing. So I don't know if that helps Dean Smith, because he's going to have what? I guess he took a week-long break, but he prepped for Southampton with Villa for a week, and now he's going to have another week here with Norwich. I don't know what that means, just something to think about. But I guess in that match, you know, we saw what Ward-Prowse had, like 10 corners against Villa. So maybe that can happen again too.
Yeah, you're right. I wasn't sure. I'm not sure what to make of Norwich, and specifically like Rashica, because, you know, he looks like a decent cash play, maybe even like the cheapest forward. I mean, he was the cheapest forward I was looking at, basically. But yeah, these new managers, there's uncertainty as to how they're going to play and even who's going to take set pieces. That can change. At least there's a possibility. Yeah, I don't know.
I moved Billy Gilmore into their starting 11 just because he got benched for some reason. And I think there's a chance Todd Cantwell comes back into consideration, because I think he had some kind of bust up with Daniel Farke, their former manager. And I think he's going to be an option too. Like, he's a guy that, I don't know, maybe their second or third best player two seasons ago behind Pookie, him and I guess it's Buendia, but yeah, like, he's a guy, if he's in the starting 11, maybe he's, you know, some kind of GPP option to consider. Obviously, that's a six-game slate. It's a little different when you're going with a guy that can't well, but there's a lot of things to think about with these new managers, just with set piece takers, position changes, formation, new players in the starting 11, and right now we're, you know, we're flying blind, and, you know, we're just guessing at what's going to happen with Newcastle and Norwich. So
yeah, probably spots that like I tend to avoid the and like Villa too. I think, you know, Bailey would look good without Buendia, but yeah, other than that, don't have much interest in, you know, trying to predict how they're going to play under Gerrard.
What are we doing at defender? Because I think there's a lot of defenders that you can consider.
Yeah.
I know you like Ait Nouri because he's taking some set pieces for Wolves. I mean, I list my as far as cash game defenders, as kind of like whoever starts at left back for Man United, Shaw or Telles. Richie, still fine at 5,900. Kanos at 5,400. I would prefer him if Jensen was not in. Ait Nouri. And I, depending on how Brighton lines up, Tariq Lamptey playing as a wingback at 4,100. He may get subbed, though. I mean, understand that if he's playing as a wingback, it's more likely that he's going to get subbed for, you know, someone. But to me, he's the cheapest I go, like at 4,100. I don't think you have to go. The cheap defenders, I think there are midfielders that I'd rather play Suchek over. Like, it's almost, this is a slate where I almost rather have another midfield spot than a defender spot. But I could also play some of these, like, I prefer some of these 5K defenders more than some of the midfielders. Like, it's like, do you play Ait Nouri or do you play Westwood? And truthfully, I play Westwood personally. But like, if I had to fill the defender spot, then I play Ait Nouri. Do I play Richie at 5,900? I mean, he can. I'm not a huge fan of Shaw without a monopoly of set pieces. I mean, Telles is fine. To me, there's more upside in Telles if he starts than Shaw. Because, I mean, Telles could just walk in and take all the set. I mean, just walk in and just, Bruno doesn't take any of them, right? Because we've seen that Shaw just isn't going to take them all anymore. Mm-hmm. So, like, what are your thoughts as far as, like, is there anyone else from a cash game perspective. I mean, there's you can play the Southampton guys, you can play the Aston Villa guys. I think they're all fairly priced. They're viable, but they don't stand out as like, well, if that's the last guy in, sure, play him. But other than that, I'm not looking.
Yeah, probably no need for those guys with all these other defenders with set pieces. It's kind of weird, but I think I ranked them like opposite of price. So Tyrick Lamptey, I was going back and forth on, but if you're going to give me 80 minutes of Lamptey on the right wing, I think I'm going to take that for 4,100. I really like Eight Nori still for 4,900. I don't see why Matt Ritchie's any better than Eight Nori. I mean, the matchup is better, but other than that, he has less open play value. So give me Eight Nori. Shaw. Yeah. I mean, I used to be a big Luke Shaw guy, but it hasn't looked great. I mean, six straight games now without scoring double digits. He's just like not doing too much in open play. I don't know if that has to do with like playing different when Ronaldo's in there. Maybe not. I mean, there's been some tough matchups too, but like, yeah, I don't think you need to go there. I agree. I'd rather play Telus. I think he has like more fantasy upside. And then Canos, I guess I skipped. Yeah, I prefer Canos too, I think, over those expensive guys. Just much better in open play playing on the wing and a pretty good matchup against Newcastle.
Lamptey or Frazier, same price. The utility spot.
Yeah, I think I'd have to go Frazier. I don't know. Like, I think it's just worth – I think Frazier's potential upside is worth the gamble. His range of outcomes is wide, definitely, like you said. But yeah, I think I'd rank him. I like the cheaper guys, or the cheaper of the expensive guys, better, I think.
And just to be clear, like Lamptey is not a punt. I think Lamptey is a $4,100 defender that should be a $5,300 defender. I don't think this is the slate where you're punting. Like, you're just like, I'm going to take the cheapest fullback, and if it's Adam Messina against Man United, that's what it's
right.
Like Joel Ward, right? We have Joel Ward at 3,300. Like, don't play Joel Ward.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's a very
good. Don't let friends play him.
Like, that's a very good point. Like, I'm not punting defender. So, like, defender is, like, a good position. I don't want to punt defender. Like, Lamptey, you're playing because he's a good play for 4,100. There's definitely risk there, but yeah, that's a good point.
I think Lamptey at his peak last season probably hit, I don't know, maybe at least 5,000, maybe 5,500. Like so he was out for what, 9 months with a hamstring injury. So that's why he's had these matches of getting back, and he just hit 75. So if there's a time to go 90, it could be this game even. So.
Yeah, and he's a really fantasy-friendly guy or player. He does everything. He's very involved in the attack.
So you guys don't want to punt on a defender, but I have a guy here that...
Oh, no. No, is Shane Duffy on the slate? What's going on?
No, I'm off of Shane Duffy. So
he's gonna score, when you're off of him, if you're off of him, that means I got to play him, right? Because he's going to score when you're off.
That could be the case.
Okay, so who's the guy that's going to score 2 points that is going to be double the ownership that he should because of this podcast?
2 points.
I don't know. Let's hear the name. Let's go.
All right. So 3,600. He's a center back, Craig Dawson. He's going to be starting because Ogbonna is out. He tore his ACL. So Craig Dawson, he's averaging 2.67 shots per. That's in Europa League, but he's averaging 1.84 shots per 90 minutes in league play. He has at least 2 shots in each of his last 4 appearances. Wolves, I don't know. He'll get some set pieces. He's active in the box. You know, he's just got the shots. No one's going to use him on sub 5%. You guys said you're not punting. So here's your center back punt right here, 3,600.
That's not that much of a punt, 3,600.
Right.
Dude, why don't you just play Suchek? Why don't you just play Shelby? I mean, you have midfield.
I'd rather want the clean sheet and the goal here. Like, come on. He's going to take 4 shots at least. Suchek. Yeah. You ever seen this guy play?
Okay. 2,600. I'd play him. 3,600. Okay, what I will say is, though, everything you said is like is true. He's elite at attacking corner kicks and set pieces.
I knew Ryan would have my back here.
I don't know. I don't know if I have your back. I'm definitely not gonna play him. but he's very good at attacking set pieces. I mean, very good.
So right, for GPPs,
I'm willing to take a shot on a 2K guy. But even then, this to me, this isn't the slate where you try to find center back goals.
Yeah, there's you're a lot of opportunity have,
so if you have a lineup with Cresswell and Bowen, you're not going to put Dawson in just to get that goal off a corner.
No, I'm going to pay up for a second defender so I get 12 points there without having to score a goal, and then finding a cheap midfielder. I get what you're saying. Like, if this was a 2-game or a 3-game slate, I'd be much more inclined to say, hey, why not take a shot? 3,600, whatever. 6-game slate, like Ryan said, the opportunity cost is just way too high for me to. And I'm the type of person that goes after center back goals in large field GPPs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pairing goalkeeper, you know, having the defensive stack with the set piece taker. Like I like that construction. I just don't think this is the slate where that construction has the best upside. I think that's more likely that you'd rather lock in double-digit points from your defenders without a goal or an assist, and then just find the goals in the midfield and the forward slots.
Yep, I agree. I'm a guy. I like playing center backs too in GPPs, but yeah, like you said, they make sense on 2-game slates and 3-game slates. You're giving up a lot on a 6-game slate. But I do like that construction. Yeah, just one thing, just now that since you brought up Jared Bowen and Jordan said that I'm not a Bowen guy. And he's right. For a long time, I wasn't. But just for the record, I'm a Bowen guy again. I've been playing him on all of the – West Ham have been on, like, every Sunday slate, and I've just played him on every one. He's like in the conversation, I guess we should just like, I should have said at least with Trossard, like he at least goes 84, 89, 89, 89, 90, 86, 89. So like 83. So yeah, he might get subbed, but he's giving you 85 minutes and he has upside. So just for the record, I'm back on Team Bowen.
Speaking of West Ham here, in case anyone's looking at Cresswell, I'm just now noticing that he did not take a set piece last match. Bowen took 2 and Fornals took 2. So if you're thinking about Cresswell, that's something to consider.
No, absolutely. Yeah, that makes me – I mean, yeah, it's just one game. And, like, you know, of course he probably will take some corners. But yeah, he might not. So, like, that has me, like, not considering him.
GPP-wise, at the forward position – to close out the show. We always talk about finding cheap goals. So from a goal scoring odds versus price perspective, we have Ings at 6,400 plus 145, Pukki 5,700 plus 170, Chris Wood 4,900 plus 160. Got Che Adams there, Edward, I guess, plus 190. I think the best GPP play on the slate could possibly be Mason Greenwood. I've said him before, plus 140. 7,500, midfield forward eligible, so you could play him at both spots if you want. With the reason why I view him as a better play than Jimenez and Tony. So Jimenez is 7,200, Tony is 7,500. Similar goal scoring odds. I just think that Ronaldo and Bruno are going to be owned significantly higher than anyone else in this range, that the direct negative correlation to that would be an unassisted Greenwood goal or a Greenwood, Ellis Greenwood goal or something like that, that, you know, where Man United win 1-2 and Ronaldo and Bruno are kept off the score sheet. Well, who's scoring that goal? It'd be Greenwood. I think, like, yeah, Jimenez could score a hat trick and Tony could score a brace. I mean, those things could happen too, but considering the ownership of Ronaldo and Bruno, like I think there'll be more Bruno Ronaldo lineups than people that are like, well, I'm going to take one of them and change them to Greenwood. I think Greenwood just ends up being like 10% owned, while the other two are like 35% owned, on a six-game slate. And I'm trying to find, it's like, if I'm not going to play Ronaldo and I'm not going to play Bruno, who am I going to play for Man United? Does that mean I play a Watford keeper and play the other side? No, that I still think Man United win. So let me find the goal that isn't those guys. And if anyone, it's, I mean, who else would it be? Rashford? But Rashford's also 8,500. So he's 1,000 more expensive. And his goal scoring odds are plus 175 versus Greenwood at plus 140. But, I mean, you could put Rashford in that spot also. Like, I think Greenwood and Rashford go significantly lower owned. And truthfully, based on these guys' floors, why should Greenwood and Rashford be any less owned than Ronaldo, other than the fact that maybe they don't play 90?
Man, I mean, yeah, I agree. Everything you said, spot on. I agree. I was kicking myself for leaving Greenwood out of the article. He's one of my favorite GPP plays as well, for every reason you said. Yeah, Rashford probably would go even lower owned than Greenwood, but yeah. And I agree too, like, considering their floor, like, why should the ownership be that different? It really shouldn't. I mean,
well, Greenwood, it's goal scoring odds. I mean, Ronaldo has more of a chance of scoring a goal, but not
right.
So the chances of him scoring a goal, like minus 145 is what, like 59% or so. Rashford plus like Greenwood's plus 140. So that's, we're talking about what, 42% or something. Right. I mean, it's right here, right? It's on the odd sheet. I'm doing the math in my head. The difference, the percentage difference in scoring one goal doesn't make up for the fact that the ownership is probably going to be 3x.
Right.
When it really should be, like, Ronaldo should be 27% owned and Greenwood should be 18% 20. Owned. It's going to be like 35-10. And if you're just going by just a single goal, like, to me, that's like auto profit. Like, you're automatically gaining expected value there. But of course, just realize if Ronaldo comes out and scores a brace, you're dead. I mean, it's just like, if he comes out and scores a hat trick, you're dead. I mean, like, it's just like the highest owned player scores a hat trick and you just close your laptop and you say, on to next slate.
Yep, that's exactly it.
I found out why Bruno's goal scoring odds were so low. He has one shot on goal in his last 9 starts. So,
really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. What has he been doing?
That's crazy.
But he gets chances created, though. I mean, so he's not shooting a lot. He's just passing to the guy.
Yeah, his numbers aren't bad. Like, he's getting, yeah, like you said, chances created. But
I'd assume he must be playing much deeper. Like, I guess with Ronaldo in and Rashford and Greenwood, he must be just playing deeper than he's been. I don't know, but that's a crazy stat.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, forward, I don't know. It just seems, like we said right at the beginning of the show, it's just like these matches – so just looking at this cheat sheet here, so there's 12 teams. 8 of the 12 teams have a win percentage between 30 and 40%. Like, that's, you could really go, like, this is a true, you know, go wherever you want to go for GPPs. Like, stick with, if you think a game's going to go higher scoring, stick with that game and go with it. I mean, otherwise, any of these games really could go off. So
it's, yeah, also so it's also a goalie roulette slate. I don't feel like need to pay up for De Gea. I mean, like, dude, with all these clean sheet odds, and I mean, like, dude, like, we have 12 goalies to choose from. I play whatever. I mean, to me, I think I'm more likely to play like a Krul or a Saw. You know, they're the cheapest home goalkeepers that isn't Watford, right? Because they have the lowest odds. But I mean, even if you played Foster, who cares? I mean, like, this seems like the type of slate that, there's going to be, out of 12 goalkeepers, there's going to be 3 goalkeepers that have like 15 plus points. To tell you which 3 goalkeepers there are, you might as well just get a lottery ticket, a Ouija board or something. No, we're not going to know what that's going to be.
Yeah. So, one of the keepers between 4,100 and 4,500 is going to have a good game. So just alternate those guys. I mean,
not Foster.
Okay. Well, Foster, of course, could. Sure.
Probably. So in GPPs, if you're fading Manchester United, like, Foster's your guy, correct?
Right. But I would I also wouldn't want to, ruin my best lineup because I forced Foster in on a United fade.
In that situation, you're already ruined in the case that, you know, Ronaldo, as Jordan was saying, gets a hat trick. So
playing for it. Well, what happens if Foster gives up two goals, one to Ronaldo and one to a substitute? Ronaldo's sitting there with 14 points. You're not going to need him to win a GPP, but Foster's still sitting there with minus two. So, they don't have to. On a three game, if it was like a 3-2 or three game slate, I'd agree with you, because then like these Man United guys would be so much higher owned that it's like there's only so many goalkeepers to choose from. So you want none of them to score and Foster to have an 18 point game.
I was going to say, in that situation, Foster would have 8 saves, though. That's the part you're leaving out.
Yeah, that we can't predict that.
Sure. Yeah.
I just did.
So, yeah. I tend to fade Foster in this spot when there's so much else to choose from, even if I don't have United. I get all the points you made, but I don't want, you know, Ronaldo can score a goal and you won't even need him on your winning lineup. You know, rostering Ronaldo too, or rostering Bruno or whoever, it takes away a spot from rostering another forward who might have a brace. And there's plenty of opportunities for that. So, like, you're not dead if any of those United guys score. And, yeah, so every game, like, just to finish off what you were saying, every game besides the United game has a total under 2.5. So, at least as far as, choosing goalies, at least, I mean, I'll just go with those low total games because one of the guys is going to get a clean sheet most likely. I don't know.
Yeah,
personally, Adam's going to have Fabianski. Because he could pair him with Craig Dawson. That's the winning
Dawson.
One.
Yeah. Yeah, Dawson, Fabianski. There you go. Step one.
I was looking at Krul, like Jordan said, first, because, you know, Dean Smith's just preparation there against Southampton. But the other guy, so Brighton, they're not going to have Sanchez. He's suspended. I originally considered that, but then, so they're going to start Jason Steele. Like, if you're someone who wants to start a backup goalkeeper, I feel like the majority of times that tends to go bad, just because, you know, these guys haven't been communicating with their back line all season. So that's something I'd worry about in case you're looking to back Brighton against Steven Gerrard in his first match. But
I agree with you there. I'll take all the homekeepers over the backup for Brighton away to Steven Gerrard's first match. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that just seems like a rough situation there. It could be, you know, it could be one of those GPP situations where, you know, you're looking at Ollie Watkins, Danny Ings if he starts, and whoever else is in there. But I think that's all we got here. You guys have anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Heck yeah. All right. So that's Saturday's slate. We will be back next week post-Thanksgiving. I assume we are all going to be about five pounds heavier, but we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll have a competition with that. But if you have any questions for us, you can find us on Twitter. Jordan is at BlenderHD. Ryan is at Ryan Balaji. And I am at RotoZdroik. You can find us in the RotoWire Discord. That is rotowire.com/chat. To sign up for that, you have to have a RotoWire subscription. And to do that, you can get a free trial. 10-day free trial, no credit card required. RotoWire.com/soccer trial. And wherever you're listening, make sure to like, subscribe, do it all. And good luck to everyone. Good luck to Craig Dawson. Good luck to Shane Duffy. Good luck to us all. And thank you, Ryan and Jordan, for the show. And we'll see everyone next week.
Thanks, guys.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.